The Game Awards took place this week, but what are your games of the year? Plus, an indie game storefront was taken down by vinyl figurines, but it's back now. Tonight is December 15th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore, what would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
16 days left in the year. Only 16 days. Mike Deft did the math for me. I didn't have to do the math. Thank you so much. Welcome to a T-minus 16 days edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. For joining us here live, where hopefully Mike Deft's math is correct. If it's not, somebody's going to come into chat, or maybe it's you that's going to come into chat that corrects him. Thank you so much for being here. We do tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, give me some bad math, and maybe I'll repeat it. And stuff. Yeah, I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat as well throughout the night. Or, as Red Entertainment points out, you could correct by the Discord channel. So this is a podcast, so if you want to join us throughout the week and correct me, which is totally fine, I might even read it on the air, you can join our Discord server. It is very low traffic. We don't ping you, so it's not going to you're not going to get bombarded with notifications. Go to vognetwork.com/discord for the invite into that Discord server. And yes, as this gentleman Matt in our chat room over at Twitch says, it math checks out. He went to He went to an inch calculator, I guess, a website, and at least as long as it's using actual math and not generative AI, I believe it's going to actually work out. So, yes, so 16 days. I will not be here next week, next Sunday. Orange Lounge Radio will not be here tonight. Orange Lounge Radio will be back next week, so you will get them instead of me. Here on VOG at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific next week. That is, I believe, the 22nd of December. So I will not be here on the 22nd of December. OLR will. I will see you again on, I believe, the 29th of December. So I will see you again before the new year, but I will not see you next week. So let's have some fun and talk about some stuff. I mean, it is a very slow time of the week of the year. There is one news story I did want to talk about because it's one that we talked about on our Discord, and it actually happened just a couple hours after we went off the air last week. So let's go ahead and talk about this. And it's kind of interesting what's going on. This is one of the perils of a lot of our services that we use on a daily basis sometimes. Trying to go to an automated system where they don't need an actual person to handle things because they just have so many customers and it costs so much money to pay the people. We want an AI to do it. And so this took out this happened because of an AI saying that we need to shut down this entire site to everybody when there was really no need to. The Verge reports that indie game Stormfront itch.io went offline early Monday morning, about 2 a.m. Eastern, I want to say. I was still awake, and so it was just starting then. After what it described as a bogus phishing report, which is P-H-I-S-H, not phishing, but anyway. While the game store's servers were still online during the outage, the domain for the website pointed towards IP addresses that itch.io doesn't own, making it inaccessible for most people. So what happened is the websites for itch.io and the payment processor for itch.io, none of that went down. All those servers were up. No data was lost. What they did is the people who owned the registrar, which is basically the mechanism that converts itch.io into 172.whatever, right? They actually said, no, itch.io no longer points to the servers that itch.io owns. they now point to us saying this domain is inaccessible. The door was sealed, or the door went somewhere else instead of going to itch.io. So nobody's data was lost. There's nothing that needs to be backed up or brought back or anything like that. After going offline at around 2 a.m. Eastern, oh, it was in the very next paragraph, the site seemed to come back around 7 a.m. Eastern. Itch.io blames pop culture collectibles company Funko for the issues in a post on X, saying, quote, because they used some trash AI-powered brand protection software called Brand Shield that created some bogus phishing report to our registrar, unquote. So, in a statement, Brand Shield CEO Yoav Karin says that the company submitted a takedown request of a specific URL, not the entire domain. They said, quote, we identified and reported the infringement and requested to take down of the URL in question, not of the entire itch.io domain. The temporary takedown of the website was a decision made by the service providers, not Brand Shield, unquote. While the disputed page was taken down, itch.io's domain registrar, I want my name, all lowercase, no spaces, still disabled the domain, likely to automated systems. According to a post on X, the indie game marketplace had to wait for the domain registrar to respond and re-enable its domain. So what essentially happened is a post, there was a little more context by the owner of itch.io over on Y Combinator. So I'm going to read their comment that they put on Y Combinator saying, quote, I'm the one running itch.io. Yes, one person runs itch.io, just so you know. So here's some more context for you. From what I can tell, some person made a fan page for an existing Funko Pop video game, Funko Fusion, with links to the official site and screenshots of the game. The Brand Shield software is probably instructed to eradicate all unauthorized use of their trademark, so they sent reports independently to our host and registrar claiming there was fraud and phishing going on, likely to cause escalation instead of doing the expected DMCA cease and desist. Because of this, I honestly think they're the malicious actor in all of this. So itch.io still blames Brand Shield for this. About 5 or 6 days ago, I received these reports on our host, Linode, which is their hosting provider that actually hosts their content, and from our registrar, which is I Want My Name. I expressed my disappointment in my responses to both of them, but told them I had removed the page and disabled the account. Linode confirmed and closed the case. I Want My Name never responded. This evening, which was on Sunday night, Monday morning, I got a downtime alert, and while debugging, I noticed that the domain status had been set to server hold on the domain panel. We have no other abuse reports from I Want My Name other than this one. I'm assuming that no one on their end closed the ticket, so it went into an automatic system to disable the domain after a number of days. I've been trying to get in touch with them via their abuse and support emails, but no response, likely due to the time of day, so I decided to escalate this issue myself on social media. So he did escalate it on social media, and apparently Funko called his mother, or somebody's lawyers called his mother because of statements that he had made on social media. So and I understand that the person, he goes by Leafo, and I don't know if that's his actual name or if just his Y Combinator username, but Leafo was like, I was disappointed that they made us take down this page, but he did say we took it down because we don't really want to deal with that type of stuff. Like, that's not the type of stuff we want. But apparently, this page was literally a fan page for Funko Fusion and didn't actually host Funko Fusion. It actually pointed people to where you could buy Funko Fusion, which I would say is not really the point of itch.io. But somebody used it in that way, and Funko said, no, you need to take it down. And so he took it down. But I guess because Brand Shield, which is protecting Funko's IP on the internet, Brand Shield did not just send a cease and desist DMCA violation. That is why a lot of other automated systems kicked in. And Brand Shield is AI powered, so a human didn't even send this. Whereas a human would have been like, we'll send a DMCA takedown, it'll get taken care of. This system's like, oh, they're fraudulently trying to be our game. They're fraudulently listing Funko Fusion on itch.io when it's not supposed to be. So we're going to send a fraud report to everybody. And because probably the registrar has automated systems and not enough people demand them, the registrar was like, well, I guess, you know, we've got to take the domain down. We got to take it down. And it wasn't really until there was a big thing on social media that Funko responded to, that Brand Shield responded to, and finally they got things taken care of. And itch.io was really back up at about 7 a.m. So it was only down for like 5 hours. But when you're on the other side of the world, that's prime purchasing time because people lost purchase time. Nobody could purchase games. Because the payment processor was looking for the domain itch.io. So he couldn't even like point a different domain to the same servers because he would have to reconfigure all these payment processors and go through that. And it's really just better that the original domain went back up. But people did probably lose a little bit of money. Maybe they lost a sale if somebody was like, I'll go buy it now. And then they just decided not to buy it because that impulse went away by the time the site came back up. So itch.io is fine. It's back up now. Funko says we just wanted the offending content taken down. The offending content was actually taken down before itch.io was shut down. So there's just a lot of moving parts to make a website run, and any one of them could take you down. And nobody's data was stolen. Nobody got hacked. No data was lost because the hosting provider that had all the data is like, okay, cool, you took that down. We're going to, you know, this case is resolved. We're not going to do anything. So, it's just the danger of having a lot of automated processes that are now powered by AI. This is the danger, and this is kind of what can happen from that. Redertainment says, in this case, the AI needed more I. Esternomat said, someone put out the out-of-business sign while the business was still running. And S. Jared Matt says, everyone is pointing fingers at someone other than themselves. Well, I will say that itch.io doesn't need to point fingers at itself because they were like, oh, yeah, we see that page. We'll delete it. We'll delete. Like, itch.io was like, okay, yeah, we have that page. Let's get it off of our site. And they did. Pod Culture says, I'm telling your mom. Yeah, Funko apparently called his mom. I didn't realize how young the itch.io person was that runs it. Yeah, and ZenMonkey11 does say, you know, uh-oh, I have some games from itch.io, just re-downloaded them, just in case they go down again. And that's, you know, that's the beauty of things like itch.io and GOG, is that you can, because there's no DRM for either of those. So absolutely keep a backup of things, because, you know, itch.io is not going to last forever, unfortunately. No digital storefront is going to last forever. We've been very lucky to have digital storefronts that have lasted a very, very long time. But none of them last forever. So I don't anticipate itch.io getting taken down again in the short term. But absolutely, keep a backup of anything that you've gotten off of itch.io or from GOG that is DRM-free. Absolutely download that stuff. Because you never know what's going to happen in 5, 6, or 7 years. And as Jared Matt does say, now that itch.io is back up, you can buy Pixel Poops number 2, which is an NES game. It's an actual NES game made by Orange Lounge Radio's Loki, where you are trying to stop joggers in a park from jogging. And there is a nondescript Mexican fast food restaurant that helps you reload as you go through, and you leave your mark on the park. It's great. So look up Pixel Poops number 2 on itch.io. It's on Steam too, but Loki gets a bigger cut if you buy it on itch.io, so buy it on itch.io. And as Sharon and Matt even says, yes, nothing lasts forever. Forza Horizon 4 got delisted today. So that's, we've kind of known this was coming. Forza Horizon 5 is the most recent one, but Forza Horizon 4 got delisted because, unfortunately, the thing we never had to worry about in the past is that licenses were only available for like cars or music for a certain amount of years. And it wasn't a problem before because they just would not actually make new versions of the disc or press the cartridge or whatever they were using on. They just didn't make any more, and they didn't sell any more after the licenses expired. They're like, oh, we have a 5-year license. We're probably only going to press the disc for like 2 years or 3 years or something like that. And then we just won't press anymore and we won't sell anymore. Well, now that we've got digital distribution, you can still buy these games years and decades later because they're available digitally. And so that's why you find games like this that have cars, and the car license only is for, they don't give you a car license for in perpetuity. They don't give you that. No car company wants to give you that. No music rights holder wants to give you the rights to their licensed track that they made for something else in perpetuity. If you're made it actually for the game, that's a little different. But if they're like, we want to license your song for the in-game radio station, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, you could have it forever. No, they're going to be like, you can sell it for 5 years, then we can renegotiate a new rate. That's why Grand Theft Auto 3 and 4 on PC keep getting patched, because they lose the rights to the music after so many years. And Mike Dev does say it's still up until tomorrow. So there was an article that came out with the time, and the time apparently was wrong. So it's delisting soon. Forza Horizon 4 is fun. It is. I love all the Forza Horizon games. They're all absolutely worth it. And even though like 5 is currently the new hotness, 4 is still a great time. It's got a great initial story, and great expansions. Like Forza Horizon series is the one where I'm like, yeah, I'll get the Ultimate Edition. That's like the one thing that I get the Ultimate Edition, even though I've got Game Pass. I still buy the Ultimate Edition and play it instead of you playing it on Game Pass. So if you're on the fence and you're thinking about it, and I don't know what it costs right now, if it's on sale or anything like that, I absolutely do love it. And I don't lose it, because I think it's also going off of Game Pass. If it hasn't already gone off of Game Pass, it'll also go off of Game Pass at the same time as it's delisting. Mike Deff says it's like $30 for the Ultimate Edition. I paid $100 for it, and it was totally worth it. So, and I know you like racing games, and I know you like the Forza Horizon stuff. But yeah, no, for $30, because the Ultimate Edition gets you the base game, all of the car packs, like they used to, for like the first like 6 months, they released a new car every week, and both expansions. Esther and Matt, who said, it would be nice for a Forza Horizon 6, but most of the team has left or working on other Microsoft products like that new Fable game. Yeah, it's, I think the yearly cadence for the Forza series was kind of getting to everybody, because it was, for a while, we would get Forza Horizon 1 year and then Forza Motorsport, the more realistic one, the next year, then Forza Horizon and Motorsport. And then they finally broke that curse, kind of, and like waited a couple years in between, and I think it did the series a lot of good. So I'm okay with there not being a Forza Horizon 6 right now. I would love to see a Forza Horizon 6. It is a series I do actually like, but you know, I'm totally cool with them, you know, spreading their wings and doing other things. And people in chat, I'm going to stump for this, because I think Microsoft owns it. This was an Activision game, wasn't it? So Microsoft owns this. Blur. Anybody remember Blur? I know some people in our chat already remember Blur, but if you don't remember Blur, Blur was a game I played on Xbox 360. There was a PC port as well. It's already been delisted. It is not backwards compatible on the Xbox One, so you have to play it on Xbox 360. And Blur was, let's take the Mario Kart formula and put it with realistic cars. Now, realistic cars is kind of I don't think they actually use real cars, and it was still a kart racer with power-ups and neon and stuff, so it's not like you're playing Mario Kart with realistic graphics, but it was a lot of fun, and I actually had a lot of fun playing it online a lot when it came out. So, the Breakman says, blue shells and real cars, and yes, and it wasn't a blue shell, but they had an item that was like that. And you were using more realistic cars. So I would love to see Playground Games bring back Blur, because now Microsoft owns it, because I think it was an Activision IP, and Microsoft now owns Activision. And Breakman says, that sounds fun. Oh, it absolutely was fun. It was a lot of fun. I have it. I have it on Xbox 360, and I still have an Xbox 360. I just haven't put it in and played it for a while, but it was even a lot of fun online. And I don't like playing online multiplayer, and Blur was a lot of fun online for me. So that's saying something. It probably was my game of the year that year. Oh, hey, that's a great segue. The Breakman says, I'm not a big fan of racing games. Well, I'm not a big fan of Halo either. You don't see me. Anyway, Breakman says, I love ones with violence. Oh, there was violence in Blur. Let me find this, actually. Just so Breakman can see. And, you know, I apologize, people on the podcast, but I'm going to find just somebody on YouTube that has some of the game playing here, just so you can kind of see what we're talking about here, what the game was. And so Blur, like I said, it was a Mario Kart-like game. But it was on, like, realistic streets with realistic cars. I don't think they were real cars. I'm not completely positive. But it was basically the Mario Kart formula with things. And I enjoyed it a lot. Mike Def says, yes, it did have real cars. That's an Audi on the screen. So, yes, so you had it real cars, I guess. It's been a long time. I am doing this all from memory. I've just got my nice memory of the games and, you know, all the fun that I had with them, even though I sucked at them. Like, I'm not going to say that I was great at these games, but they were a lot of fun, even online multiplayer on the Xbox 360. So, like, I was actually playing Xbox Live on this. And the thing is, this got released around the exact same time as another racing game from Disney called Split Second. And I had actually thought I would like Split Second more than this, and I didn't. I actually like this way more than Split Second. As Jared Matt says, they could totally do a remaster of this, but the real car license thing could be sticky. And the thing about what you kind of see here, the part that's sticky about the real car license is car manufacturers don't like seeing their cars destroyed. Which has always been kind of a sticking point for some. That's why you don't see some automakers in a game like Forza where they have the realistic damage modeling. This game does have the realistic damage modeling, or it has damage modeling. I'm not going to say it's realistic. But that's been kind of a sticking point for some car companies. Because they don't want you to see their car beat up. So some games would actually respect that, and you wouldn't see the windows shattered or the bumper falling off or anything like that. You would just hit things and, you know, you would just continue on. Mike Dev says Gran Turismo doesn't have damage modeling. I know it can, like, simulate bad stuff, but I don't think you actually see the bad stuff happening to the cars. So I love Blur. I wish it was backwards compatible on the Xbox One. I wish you could play it online still. But it's been delisted everywhere. Like, there used to be a Steam version. There's a PC version out there. But that was delisted something like 8 years ago or something like this. This is quite an old game. ZenMike11 says, no remastered. They'll just ruin it with DLC and nerfs, and gamers will complain. It will be a mess. And I would normally agree. It's just the only thing is I'd love to play it online again, and all the online servers are offline for this. So there's no, I think people have hacked the PC version to give you online multiplayer, you know, kind of like how they've done with some of those titles where they've kind of emulated the server so you could still play it. But it's, I'd rather not jump through the hoops. I am lazy. I am very lazy. And don't really want to. I don't really want to go through all the hassle of trying to get multiplayer set up in a hacky way. So the Game Awards were this week. Blur was not there, but the Game Awards happened on Thursday night. Another addition into the Keighleyverse. Jeff Keighley, using his own money and his own muscle to put out the things that he thinks the game industry needs. And I did not watch all of it yet. I was not able to see it the night of. We had another function going on that night, so I didn't actually see it. I did kind of read up on social media a little, some of the stuff that people were talking about. I did watch a bit of it today, went through, didn't get through all of it. Then I kind of skipped around stuff. But it seemed like it's what we kind of expect from the Game Awards now. And a lot of people still wish it was more about the awards. And I get why it's not. I'm one of those people that don't hate the Game Awards because I understand what it is and I understand what Jeff Keighley is trying to do with it. And it's contrary to what a lot of people want the Game Awards to be. And I know that. And I understand that the only way they can put that on is with money. It costs money to rent out the Peacock Theater that they did it from. It costs money to get the professional television production crew that does television production to do it, to do that. It costs money to pay for all of the musicians that were in the orchestra. It costs money to pay for the security dude that was standing at the aisle to make sure that nobody ran up on stage and unhooked the velvet rope whenever somebody needed to come out from the audience and stage. Did you notice that? It costs money for all that. It costs money to pay for Harrison Ford to come out and shake hands with the voice actor for Indiana Jones and then go off the stage. It costs money to have Snoop Dogg come out and play. They don't do that for free. So I understand that the majority of the Game Awards are trailers because every single one of those trailers, except for maybe a few indie ones, I believe, because that's been something Jeff Keighley's been doing for a bit, is that offering he pays for the trailers for smaller indie games to get on. But every one of those trailers is paid for by the publisher. It is one of the best ways to market your game is to be on the Game Awards. And so they are going to fit in all of those trailers. But it gets you watching so you can get introduced to games that you may not have been introduced to. ZenMonkey11 even says, I want to thank the Game Awards for introducing me to Balatro. What a fun game. I got it for my Switch as soon as I seen it in the Game Awards countdown. Then the next day I bought it two more times for my PS4 and tablet. Esther Matt says, I don't know if they went over, but they have to pay overtime for the crew. And I believe it's in, I think Esther Matt talked, Esther Matt has worked in television production before. And I think it's like, it's in 15-minute increments. So like if something goes over 15 minutes, that's overtime pay. And even if you only go over 5 minutes, you're paying for 15 minutes. But Mike Def says they ended on time. So that's good. They actually gave some people time to speak, which was good. And it seemed a little bit paced more. Maybe he charged more for trailers so he could have more time for people to actually talk. Somebody mentioned the Muppets earlier, and it was kind of interesting. They had Stotler and Waldorf from the Muppets there basically roasting the Game Awards. And what they were doing was they were putting out all of the criticisms that people have had about the Game Awards and basically having Stotler and Waldorf voice them to Jeff Keighley on stage about, like, please wrap it up and, you know, all that stuff. And they were trying to do that as a wink and a nod to the audience, but it also meant that people could look at that and say, well, see, they know what the complaints are and they still do them. And where that comes from, that idea came from, was probably from Jeff, because as much as people don't like to admit this, Jeff Keighley really is one of us. And I say us like me and the people in our chat room. He really is one of us. He just happens to have more money and a lot more status and a lot more connections than you and I do. But he does have fun with games. He can take a joke. And he often is shown as somebody who's a sellout, which Stotler and Waldorf did call him a sellout right on stage, and somebody who's just doing it for the money. And I remember an interaction on social media that Jeff Keighley had with a satirical website called Hard Drive, which is essentially the Onion of video games, which, by the way, their parent company was just bought like yesterday by like a right-wing corporation. So just so you know, just that happened today. So if that's the type of content you're looking for, Hard Drive is going to be there. And The Hard Times, which is the rock punk music main site. But anyway, Hard Drive actually did something and kind of poked at Jeff Keighley. And Jeff Keighley replied saying, okay, this is great. Like, let's banter. Let's joke together. Let's have some fun. And Hard Drive was like, no. no. And hard drive's like, no, 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 we're not doing this. You are, and they did it by just being mean. They started being mean. They're like, no, 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 you are not in on the joke. You are the butt of the joke, and we're going to make you the butt of the joke, and you're going to keep being the butt of the joke. And Jeff's literally like, I'm in on it. Like, let's do this. Like, you're right. Let's do this. And hard drive's like, no, we're not. No, you do not. Do you want to come after us? We're going to come right after you way harder. So Jeff really is part of the, he wants to be part of the joke because he finds it funny, and he understands that, you know, he can't make the perfect award show that people want because it's got to be something that, you know, something that can actually be profitable for people, because that's how it works. ZenMonkey11 says, I know people work on weekends too, but the video game awards should be on Saturdays and it should run as far as long as it needs to. I hate when people complain it's too long. It's once a year and it's about video games. Let's have some fun. So I don't hate the game awards, and I like to see what they do with things. There was I did watch two of the speeches. There was and what is the name? Amir, the game changer, and it's not in my notes. That's why I was Amir Setvat. And this was the Game Changer Awards. And this is finally, Amir Setvat is somebody who wanted to be part of the game industry, but didn't make it into the game industry because of where he lived. And so when a lot of people started getting laid off, he started putting together resources to get a lot of the people that were laid off in the game industry back into companies and help them with mentors and stuff like that. And they did a whole piece on it, and it kind of tried to make up for the fact that the Game Awards in the past didn't mention the layoffs. And everybody wanted them to mention the layoffs, and now they devoted a whole segment to it. Now, that was cool to see. Now, I do rethink that, like, there are always this controversy. And I believe, like, Amir Setvat, this is the only thing that people actually had a problem with that. So Amir Setvat, game changer, did a lot of great stuff. Awesome. Great. Like, I love it. I wish he didn't have to do it. I wish the game industry was in a better place. But they painted him as somebody who's outside the game industry. And he's outside the game industry. He just loves the industry and he wants to help. They didn't mention that he works for Tencent now. He literally is in the game industry, has been for a bit, and he works for Tencent Games. So they didn't mention that part, but a lot of the stuff he's done and a lot of the stuff that he's compiled, because even though, yes, it's a spreadsheet, that's really what he did, somebody had to put it together. SJ Nomad says, Saturdays are a tough night to do it on. It's a busy sports weekend, especially at this point. Most of the folks not watching sports are watching the Game Awards, but you have to do it on a day where not a lot is on so they can get that outside viewer attention. And Mike Dev says he did mention that he's part of the industry now, but obviously he didn't mention how or where at the end of his speech. But he, oh, so it's Tencent. That's probably why, because they were like, he's at Tencent Games now. I saw that. And then the speech, and I'm, was it Sven from Larian, who Baldur's Gate 3 at the end, he basically gave out the game of the year speech, and he did some digs saying, you know, don't worry, if they tell you to wrap it up, you can come back and have 3 minutes to talk next year. And that's what he did. And he made a passion plea saying that I'm going to be the first to know who the game of the year of 2024 is, because I'm holding the envelope. And I also know who's going to win 2025, 2026, and 2027. And he basically said that it's going to be won by somebody who actually makes the games that people want to play, not for a bottom line. And he kind of rallied against the AAA publishing industry with the loot boxes and the DLC and all stuff that I'm sure ZenMonkey11 would agree with in our chat and many other people, but I call that out specifically. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be a passion. It's a game made out of passion, not out of boardrooms. And that's who's going to win in 2025 and 2026 and 2027. So that was it was a really, really good speech to hear on a big stage like that, when a lot of people are watching and when a lot of execs are actually watching and they're there. You don't think that the big execs are watching the Game Awards. They absolutely are watching the Game Awards. So what did win Game of the Year? Astrobot. So Astrobot won over Balatro, which was up there with a bunch of these other other huge heavy hitters, which was great. Black Myth, Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, which is DLC, by the way. It's not even a full game. It's a DLC. They did announce a new Elden Ring. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and Metaphor ReFantazio, which they did not bring the Buddhist monk who sings on Metaphor ReFantazio in like the battle theme and a couple of the other songs. They did not bring him. It's an actual Buddhist monk. There actually is video out there. He did like, I think one of the in Tokyo, he did one of the in events that introduced Metaphor ReFantazio with people in cosplay. And he's like, he's literally like sitting at like a traditional table that a Buddhist monk would sit at, and he's chanting. And I was like, if they do not fly him out to the Game Awards, what are we even doing here? Well, I don't know what we're doing here. But, yeah, so Astrobot 1, which everybody's like, yay, it's not a sequel or something. And I'm sitting here going, Astrobot's the third game of the series of Astrobot. You just probably didn't play the first one. And the second one you kind of dismissed as a pack-in game. But there were actually three Astrobots now, with Astrobot being the third game. Astrobot Rescue Mission is a PlayStation 4 PSVR title, which was actually really good. And it was one of those things that actually used VR in a really innovative way when you played it as a platformer, because it's a platformer just like Astrobot. But instead, you are the camera, and you do actually have to move yourself to find the Astrobots that you are trying to rescue, because it's kind of the same type of gameplay that you found in Astrobot. And then Astro's Playroom comes with every PlayStation 5. It teaches you the controller, but it's a fully-fledged game in and of itself. It's just really short, and that's why it's free with the PS5. So it's not a new title. It is very much like the third game in a series, but it's really good, and I do need to finish it. I know that. Questbush says it was nice seeing Metaphor ReFantazio win a few. Also, the soundtrack is fire. Yeah, the soundtrack's by the same guy that did Persona, and there's no jazz in it. So it's all like classical fantasy, but it's by the same guy who does all the Persona stuff, which is great. They did have the flute guy. Somebody brought up the flute guy, and he played like every instrument that was weird. And I think like they know he's kind of the fan favorite now, especially for this. But the flute guy in the orchestra, and they basically had a camera trained on him the whole time. And he every song he would switch to a different instrument that looked weirder and weirder. So there were more obscure instruments is what he does a lot of. So best game direction also went to Astrobot. The best ongoing game, which is basically the game that continues to get updates. This is where like Final Fantasy 14 is and Fortnite. Well, Helldivers 2 got it. So they're spreading democracy and liberty. Best art direction went to Metaphor ReFantazio, which is cool. It's got, you know, it's got a lot of your anime BS in it. That's what I'm going to call it. But it's got some characters that and races and stuff that are very, let's say, very recognizable. The way that they kind of talk about the show, the different races, you can tell that it's a different race. And a lot of the fantasy, the castles and all that stuff, they did a really good job with how they wanted to build it out. And I mean, just like the Persona series, even the menus in the UI are all very stylized. Mobile game went to Balatro. The best narrative went to Metaphor ReFantazio, even though it is basically anime BS. But, you know, it's good anime BS. Best performance went to Melina Jurgens from Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. That game we all kept hearing about, and then it came out, and like nobody really played it, at least here. Questbush says, Balatro's win in mobile averted war between gacha fandoms. I did think it was interesting that a game that was not designed as a mobile game won best mobile game over games that were designed for mobile. But if it averted war, then we're good. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth got best score in music. Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 got best audio, which is also including atmospheric audio and things like that. In terms of best adaptation, which is an adaptation outside of video games, either a movie or a television show, Fallout actually won it over Arcane, which I thought would have been one that should have won it. Like a Dragon, Yakuza was on here, but I didn't like it as much, so I'm kind of glad it didn't. Best multiplayer was Helldivers 2. Once again, some more liberty for everyone. Best independent game was Balatro. I will mention that Tekken 8 was also in there for best multiplayer, and Ben Starr was added as DLC for Tekken 8 because they added Clive. I did see that trailer. Debut indie game, best debut indie game was Balatro. So not only was it made by one developer, it's their first game, and they're winning all these awards. Most anticipated game, which, why? They didn't even show a trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. So it was just the only way they could get Grand Theft Auto 6 mentioned on the broadcast. Best role-playing game, once again, Metaphor ReFantazio. Good job. I kind of wish Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth would have gotten it, but, you know, whatever. Games for Impact. So these are games that, you know, have some kind of social message in it. Neva, I believe, won that. And then, let's see, Best Action-Adventure Astrobot. Best Action, this is where Black Myth Wukong got its game. Tekken 8 did win Best Fighting, so now it's going to even be better fighting because it's going to have Ben Starr as Clive Rossfield in it. Prince of Persia The Lost Crown got the Innovation and Accessibility, so congratulations to them. Baldur's Gate 3 got Best Community Support, so there Baldur's Gate 3 got another award. Mike Dev says, Neva will hit you hard in the fields if you have or had any pets. Well, I'm not going to play it then. Best family game, Astrobot, which beat out a whole bunch of Nintendo games. Like, when you're up against Princess Peach Showtime, Super Mario Party Jamboree, and The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, and The Plucky Squire, which also would have been great to dethrone Nintendo, Astrobot dethroned Nintendo in Nintendo's own category. Frostpunk 2's best sim or strategy game. The best sports or racing game was EA Sports FC 25. And here's what I want to say about this. Here you go. Pod Culture, you were waiting, right? You were waiting for this, right? So, best sports or racing game. There was a game not nominated. So here were the nominations for best sports and or racing game. So EA Sports FC 25, which is the soccer game. F1 24, NBA 2K25, Top Spin 2K25, that's tennis, and WWE 2K24. The video game that made the biggest splash in normal people world, I guess, people who aren't us, people who don't play that many video games. The game that everybody talked about this summer was that we finally got college football back, and College Football 25 came out, broke a whole bunch of award records in terms of sales, and that game came out, and it wasn't even nominated in the category for itself. How was College Football 25 not nominated for Best Sports Game when it made the biggest splash? It had full coverage in ESPN. It was all, like, if you don't watch college football, you obviously don't know, you don't care, and I completely understand that. But if you do watch college football, which a lot of Americans do, it was a cultural phenomenon this summer. Because finally we had college football for the first time since 2013, which was the last time the game came out, and it had the players were getting compensated for their name, image, and likeness. Each player that was in the game got $600 in a free copy of the game, which is something they couldn't do legally until now. And it really kind of, and it's a better game than Madden. It plays better than Madden. And it wasn't even nominated. I do understand that EA Sports FC 25 is the most popular sports game in the world. That's what FIFA became. Like, it was FIFA, and they lost the FIFA license, and now they're and it's even FC 25. It's not even FC 24, but FC 25 came out this year. I get it that it is the most popular sports game in the world, and probably even the most popular video game in the world. But for College Football 25 to not even be nominated, pod culture's liver is dead. Best VR AR game, speaking of that, Batman Arkham Shadow won that. And there was a, you know, it won over, like, there was a remake of Arizona Sunshine. There's Asgard Wrath 2, Metal Hellsinger's VR version. The Metal Hellsinger is a first-person shooter that's got death metal music in it. And they made out a VR version. Trombone Champ Unflattened, not in this category, also not nominated, which was another oversight. And then Metro Awakening. And then the Player's Voice Award was Black Myth Wukong. That's what the players said. So what was your game of the year? That's what I want to know. In chat, tell me what your game of the year was. And you don't have to say it was like the best game that came out, but what was the game that was your game of the year? Mine was Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which was nominated for some things and didn't get anything in the Game Awards this year. But even though it came out in January, it is the one game that I stuck with and played the absolute longest this year. Even though I did start Metaphor ReFantazio, but there were some, I still haven't gotten past the stealth part. I haven't pulled it back up since I got to the required stealth, and that's when I walked away from it. I haven't finished Astrobot, but I have Astrobot, and there's no stealth in Astrobot. But, you know, I haven't finished it yet. I started Persona 3 Reload from Game Pass and kind of stopped on that a little bit. I did not finish Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I got to a point and I'm like, you know what? I'm not having fun. I'm going to stop. And so for me, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is really the only game that kept me from start to finish. And it was very early on. It came out in January, but it's the one game that really kept with me. So Redertainment says the Pokemon trading card game, the new mobile game that came out. Breakman says Dungeons 4. Fifth Dream says Fallout 76 for the sixth year in a row. E3VL says Splatoon 3 Side Order. If DLC don't count, then Persona 3 Reload. If remakes don't count, Mario and Luigi Brothership. Remakes do count because there's several remakes that were in here. I don't personally think DLCs count, but the Game Awards absolutely do. So that's why it's good that you gave all three, because some different people think different things count. Mike Def says, my top three, not in order, Helldivers 2, Balatro, and Lethal Company. Even though Lethal Company technically came out last year, didn't start playing it until December. And that still counts, because I don't know if you noticed, all of these services that do like their wrap up of like what you do, like your Spotify Wrapped and things like that, they only look until December. So December doesn't count toward the year, which Twitch does their wrap up. And I am convinced what this probably means is that you can like watch the most unhinged stuff in December and it's not going to regurgitate back to you, because I don't think they actually start the clock again until January. So you have like a month to where you can just like watch or listen to whatever, and it's not going to be reflected in any of your wraps. That may not be the case, but I like to think of it that way. E3VL says Indiana Jones is good so far. Sad it wasn't included in the Game Awards. It came out after the cutoff, but they did have Harrison Ford come out on stage and shake Troy Baker's hand. Questbush says, I'm with ReFantazio winning RPG of the Year. I haven't finished it yet, but I also dread getting it to the end. I'm glad Metaphor ReFantazio won other stuff. I just wish Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth got something. Michigan says, I wish they would either re-release or remake Tenchu, but I don't think they will because licensing. Since we've already kind of gone through the game, your game of the years, what trailers did you really like? I didn't watch all of them. Like I said, I watched all of them up to a point, and then I kind of skipped around a little bit. And, you know, okay, well, I'll look at that, because the actual official YouTube, somebody put in a comment, like, here's the timestamps for every trailer. Like, thank you to that commenter, so I could just, like, click around. But there were a couple surprise reveals that were in there. I do know that The Witcher 4 was shown, and there are a lot of people that are very upset at who the protagonist is. And even though I never did finish The Witcher 3, apparently if you did finish The Witcher 3, it's no surprise who the protagonist is in The Witcher 4. It's just a lot of people who never finished The Witcher 3 are very upset right now. Onimusha is another one that Michigan was very, very happy about seeing. Dark Decia says, Naughty Dog's new game, it has very Cowboy Bebop and Akira vibes from what he saw. HDI Andrew says, Killing Floor 3, which I know why HDI Andrew says that, because that game's developed about, you know, a couple miles up the road from my house. I don't know exactly how many miles up the road, but it is a couple miles up the road from my house. Them I have not visited. They're a local. I visited the other large indie game company based in this area, my area of Atlanta. I have not visited that one, but I know what road they're off of. Zemank 11 says, the trailers were when I tuned out. I didn't see any of them in its entirety. And there are people that are only there for the trailers. There are people that tune out when the awards are given out because they don't want to hear the awards. They want to see trailers. That's why a lot of people don't watch the DICE Awards, which is the actual, like, Oscars of gaming or something like that. It's because it is more serious, more, you know, giving out awards, no trailers. People are like, well, why would I watch? There's no game trailers. E3VL says, Intergalactic, the best part was the ending. Interested in what Naughty Dog was going to do with the action-adventure genre. Here's hope that a lot of gameplay innovations like they did with the third-person shooter genre. Tiger Claw says, a new Sonic Kart racing game called Sonic Racing Crossworld, since it's been 5 years since Sonic Team Sonic Racing. So it was a nice surprise. I'm trying to think of like some of the other stuff. The Joseph Fares game looked interesting. I did remember seeing that trailer. I never did play It Takes Two, but the new game that he showed up, that was cool. That game was cool, and I'm happy that he's doing well. E3VL does point out Borderlands 4 was announced. As Sharon Matt says, there's a new Turok game. So yeah, and I'm trying to remember what other trailers, because it's like I don't remember every trailer that was there, because it's a lot. That's most of what's at the Game Awards are these trailers for a lot of those games, and especially like even in the countdown part. So it's like it's really like it was like a 4-hour production or something like that. I'm kind of glad I didn't co-stream it, because it's like that's a long time to be sitting here under these lights. Yeah, the Breakman says the Borderlands 4 trailer was a good mix of cutscene and gameplay. Dark Tessia points out the new Virtua Fighter, which I believe RGG Studios working on. I heard about that trailer. I didn't actually get to watch that trailer yet. Fifth Dream says, I'm happy they finally announced Okami 2. They've been talking about it for a while. So I will say that there are people on the internet that will be like, no, it's not Okami 2. This is really Okami 3. Because there was a second Okami game. It's just nobody remembers it. Tireclaw says, a new game called Dispatch. There's a new Game of Thrones game. And they're also working on Project Century is what RGG Studios. RGG Studios is what makes the Like a Dragon series. In fact, Ryuga Gotaku means Like a Dragon in Japanese. And Fifth Dream says, to be fair, the Okami people are also calling it too. Well, it won't be the first time that people have decided that the people who name things are naming things incorrectly. E3VL says Project Robot from Ico Team, or Eco, I think it's Eco. I think it is actually Ico Team. Project Robot from Ico Team. So I thought that was going to be the Kojima game, because the way Jeff Keighley announced it was like a friend of mine, Adamir, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, it's more Hideo Kojima. And then it's like from Ico and Shadow of the Colossus and Last Guardian. So that one looks interesting, but we also don't know anything about it. S. Jerry Matt says, all in all, I was good with the Game Awards. No complaints for me. It had its moments and served its purpose to a nice end-of-year wrap-up to the gaming community. Which I think is really what Jeff was trying to do. And it costs money to do that. And that's why there's a lot of trailers. And then the Keighleyverse will be back in June for One Night Live. Or for E3, for the Keighley, whatever the E3 thing. And then he'll be back for the One Night Live at Gamescom. And then he'll be back, I think they even announced it's going to be December 11th at the Peacock Theater. It's going to be the Game Awards next year. So Summer Games Fest. Yeah, so Summer Games Fest is the next version of the Keighleyverse. Then we'll get One Night Live a couple months later. And then we'll get Game Awards. And then maybe Jeff Keighley can get some sleep. That'd be nice. Let the man sleep. So I talked for the whole hour. I had a music break queued up with some holiday music, but really I've been here for an hour, and it's time to wrap it up for the night, I will not be here next week. I will be out of town next week. And but OLR will be here. So Orange Lounge Radio will be here. Rob is currently out of town. He's feeling better. So he is now out and about doing his thing that he had always planned to be doing this weekend. And then I will be back on the 29th. So I will see you before New Year's. Both us and OLR will be back then. Right then, but I will not see you next week. So I hope that for those of you who do celebrate Christmas, have a safe and happy Christmas. If you celebrate Hanukkah, I believe it starts next week, or if you celebrate Festivus, don't get too offended at the grievances. And if you don't celebrate any of that stuff, I just hope you have a wonderful 2 weeks. How about that? So so take care of each other. Play some games if you can. Finish some of these games of the year. Get to know Balatro. I don't know Balatro. I have not played Balatro, but everybody tells me it's great. And so I'm going to try it at some point. I'm sure I will. But I need to finish Astrobot and maybe even Metaphor Refantasio. Anyway, I'm going to hit the button to get me out of here. There we go. Now I only have 10 seconds left to ramble. So thank you so much. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays, everyone. I will see you in 2 weeks. OLR is back next week. We're going to raid someone after this. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.